Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
Numbers chapter 13, we're going to start reading in verse 27. Just for a little context, the Israelites, God's people, they have come out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. They have been in the wilderness for a time period, and now God is getting ready to take them into the promised land. And God had them send some spies into the land, some scouts into the land. And they come back with this report in verse 27. This was their report to Moses. There were 12 spies that went in, by the way. They said, "We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit that it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. 'Let's go at once to take the land,' he said. 'We can certainly conquer it.' But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. 'We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are.' So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. 'The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too." Here in the next few minutes, I want to talk to you all along the subject of taste and take. Taste and take. Let's pray one more time. Father, we ask in these next few moments that you would simply do what only you can do in our hearts and in our minds, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but is there anybody else that loves going anywhere that offers free food samples? Free food samples. You walk into the grocery store and you get the samples, you get some samples, and you know, you go to Sam's and they've always got samples at Sam's. Or if you just walk past the Chinese restaurant in the airport, they are always giving free samples. You can fill up, if you just come back 5 or 6 times, you can fill up on the free sample in the airport at the Chinese restaurant. And let me just tell you, these samples are not because these places are just super generous. No, they're not just being friendly and giving stuff away. No, they want you to taste it because they know if you taste it, you're going to have to take it. If you taste and see how good that cheese is, you cannot live without it. Not just today, you will come back for more again. If you taste and see how good that sausage is, you are not going to walk past it in the aisle ever again. If you taste and see how good that pastry is, you're not just going to take one box home, you're going to take multiple boxes home. The Bible says this in Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. It says that we are to taste and see that the Lord, our God, is good. He says, how blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who takes refuge in him. Now, I want you to see something in the story, because there were 12 spies that went out to scout the land that God had intended to give the people of Israel. And 10 spies come back with a bad report. There are 2 spies that come back with a favorable report. But the 10 spies, what happened was they tasted the fruit, but they did not see how good the Lord was. The fruit tasted good, but they didn't see how God was good. They tasted the fruit, and whenever you don't see how good God is, the only thing you can see is how big your enemy is. You know, it's interesting that they were standing in their promise, but all they could see was their problems. They were in the land that God created to take them to, but all they could see in this moment were their problems. Why? Because they were tasting the fruit, and all they were seeing was that the fruit was good and the land was good, but they didn't see that the maker of the land was good and the producer of the fruit was good. And they tasted what God made, but they did not taste of the Lord himself. But that was not the case with the other two. You see, they had tasted more than just the fruit. They had tasted the fruit and they had tasted of the goodness of the Lord. And that's why they said, we can take the land. Because they had already found their refuge in God. They had already found their place. They knew that he was their protector and he was their strength and he was their strong tower. They knew who the Lord was and they had already found their place in him. And because they had tasted and seen that the Lord was good, they declared in the next chapter in Numbers 14, they said, they are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection. But the Lord is with us, so don't be afraid of them. You see, when you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, it makes your problem shrink because God gets so big. And you say, there's nothing they can do to keep us out of this land because we have the good, good Father going with us. But it can be very disappointing when you get close enough to taste what God has for you, but you don't have confidence enough to take it. See, it was not God's desire for them to merely taste the fruit. God wanted them to take the land. And many times in life, we find ourselves tasting of the fruit, but not taking the land that God created us to take. You see, the cheese, the sausage, the pastry, all these things, the samples offered at the grocery store, what needs to happen is they need to be placed into your cart so that they can be purchased by you at the cash register. After you purchase them, now you possess them and you put them in your car and then you put them in the pantry and then you can enjoy what you have possessed once you get home. But here is the interesting thing. When you go to the store, you got to take the sample, purchase it, and then you can possess it. Here's the great thing about God. God had already purchased the land for them because in verse 2 in chapter 13, God told Moses, this is the land I am giving you. It belongs to me. I have already purchased it for you. I have already paid the price. All you have to do is possess it. You just put it in your buggy and you just drive it all the way to your house and you put it into your pantry and you can enjoy the fruit of this land anytime you want it because I'm giving it to you. So good when you realize what God has purchased for you to have. He's already done it, and it's just a matter of you possessing what God has purchased. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus says, I came that they, speaking of us, say us, I came that they, he's talking to us here, may have and enjoy life, that they may have it in abundance, that they may have it to the full until it overflows. This is what Jesus came and purchased for each and every one of us to have. This is the life. This is the life that God has for us. And you see, that's why I always say that God has a promised land for you. God has a promised place for you. Just like he had Canaan for his people, God has a Canaan for you. And no, it's not a physical territory, but it is a spiritual reality. It is not real estate, but it is a real state of the mind and the heart. It is the abundant life. It is a life that overflows with peace and overflows with joy and overflows with purpose and overflows with power. It is a life that overflows. It is a life abundantly. That's what Jesus has for us. But here's the thing. Sometimes we get close enough to taste the abundant life instead of take the abundant life. You see, God didn't create you just to come in and get a taste of the abundant life on Sunday morning. He didn't create you so that you could come and you could see the friendly faces and you could hear the good music and you could clap your hands a few times and you could leave feeling good about yourself because you have tasted what God has for you. You know, God doesn't just want you to taste it. He wants you to take hold of it. He wants you to live the abundant life on Monday morning and on Thursday afternoon and on Saturday all day long. He has an abundant life for you, and He's not just satisfied with you just tasting the fruit. No, He wants you to take the land and take the life that He created you to have, because it belongs to you. It's already been purchased and made possible for you. So let me just give you two things today that will help you take the land. How do you take the land? How do you take hold of this abundant life? How do you take hold of a life that is overflowing? How do you do that? Let me just give you two things. Number one is this: your agreements. Your agreements. This is what the Bible said there in verse 30 of our scripture. It says, "But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses." He says, "Let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. They disagreed. Now, notice, it wasn't that they were disagreeing with Caleb. They were in disagreement with God. Because it was God who said, "I am going with you, and I am going to give you this land." And when they said, "No, it's not going to work," they weren't just disagreeing with the word of Caleb. They were disagreeing with the word of God. This is what agreement means. Agreement means the state of being in accord. It's being in the state of harmony, if you would. Agreement is being in harmony. And if you are going to take the land and live the abundant life, then your beliefs must be in harmony with the promises of God for you. See, there's a critical question you have to ask yourself. Am I more in agreement with what God says or what I see? Is my life more in harmony with what He said in His word or what I feel right now in the moment? The critical questions that we have to ask ourselves: am I in accord? Am I finding oneness with His promises in my life, or am I finding accord with my problems that I see in my life? You see, if you're going to get in agreement and get in harmony with God, then that is going to require faith. You have to have faith to live in agreement with God. You have to have faith to live in harmony and accord with God. This is what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please God. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek Him." He says it is impossible. You cannot walk with God and you cannot please God without faith. You have to believe that He exists, and you have to believe that He will reward you if you are seeking after Him with all of your heart. You see, your abundant life will always begin with agreement. You have to believe that it's possible. You have to believe that it belongs to you. If you're going to live the abundant life, you have to believe that nothing can keep you from it. You see, you've got to get into agreement with the right beliefs. You have to have faith in the right things in order to see the abundant life in your life. God's promise of abundant life is and will always be tied to your faith. Come on, I want Austin and Jared to come up. I want to give you a very clear picture of what we're talking about when we talk about agreement, okay? When we talk about agreement. For the purpose of this, okay, here Austin is, he's gonna be God. He's gonna be the promises of God. He's gonna be truth, okay? And Jared over here is going to be the opposite of all of that, okay? He's gonna be the world, the flesh, and the devil, okay? That's who Jared is. Y'all can pray for him after service, okay? But this is what it looks like when I get into agreement, okay? When I get into agreement, I can choose to get in agreement with God, but so many times what we do is we get into agreement with what we see in the moment. We get into agreement with our emotions. We get into agreement with what we feel. We get into agreement with the lie that the enemy is telling us, okay? We get into agreement with what we feared was going to happen. We get into agreement because it happened to my mom this way, and now I feel like it's happening to me this way, and we get into agreement with the wrong things. And when we get into agreement with the wrong things, those things begin to lead us and those things begin to guide us because I have placed my agreement in these things. And then we begin to wonder, why is my life on a downhill trajectory right now? Why am I on a downward spiral? Why does my life feel like a slippery slope that I just keep on falling and sinking? And it's not because of anything that I've done other than this. I got into agreement with the wrong thing. And when I got into agreement with the lie, when I got into agreement with the lack, when I got into agreement with my fear, when I got into agreement with my insecurities, when I got into agreement with these things, they took me somewhere that I did not want to go. Then we say, how did I end up here? Because I got into agreement with the wrong thing. Okay, now let's get the sin out of here. Move the sin away. I don't need to be tied up. I feel like, Lord, forgive me. I just got tied up there to the wrong thing. But watch what happens when we get in agreement, okay? We get into agreement. This is our faith, right? This is our faith. This rope is my agreement. This rope is my faith. And so now I'm saying, I'm not paying attention. I'm not focused. I'm not following my fears anymore. I am now attaching myself through faith to the promises of God. And you say, yeah, well, it doesn't look very good. Yeah, it didn't look very good for them either because there were giants in the land. They had better weapons. They had fortified cities. But Caleb and Joshua said, we can take it. Why? Because they were in agreement with God, because what God says you can have, they said, I can have it. If God says it's mine, then I say it belongs to me. And so I have to get into agreement and get in faith with what God says. Remember what the Bible said in Hebrews, I can't please God or walk with God if I'm not in agreement or in faith with Him. Now watch what happens when I get into agreement with God, because God's trying to take me into somewhere good, because He's a shepherd, right? He's a good shepherd, so He's leading me beside the still waters. He's leading me into green pastures, right? He is leading me into abundance. He's leading me into freedom. He's leading me into prosperity. He's leading me into blessing. He is leading me into the good things that He has for me. But why is He leading me? Because I have put my agreement that says, God, You are going to take me somewhere. The best is yet to come. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. And I put my agreement in Him. And when I place my agreement with Him, that's how I get to follow Him. You see, it's why your agreements are so important. You have to get into agreement and get yourself attached. See, I can't get away from God. You got to be attached to the right thing. You got to get into agreement with the right thing. Because your life, listen to me, your life is moving in the direction of your agreements. Whatever you are tying yourself to is what's pulling you. In Romans chapter 4, I love this because Paul is writing here and he's writing about Abraham. And Abraham, he's bringing this to say that, hey, Abraham is not just the father of the Israelites. Abraham is the father of the faith, because it was Abraham's faith that got counted him, that counted him as righteous in the sight of God. And so the Apostle Paul is writing this teaching, and he's saying, we cannot ignore this, that it all came down to Abraham's faith. It wasn't his actions. It was what he believed. It wasn't the law. It was his faith that put him in right standing with God. And the scripture says in verse 16, so the promise, listen to this, so the promise is received by faith. Now we know that Abraham's promise was that he would have a son, and he received that promise by faith. But this is a principle. All promises are received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Well, this is what Abram believed. He believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. He didn't even have a son, remember, but he's believing he will become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. 100 years of age, still no child, still has a promise. He's still believing. Verse 20, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. See, it was Abraham's agreement that kept him in alignment to receive the promises of God even through the decades when he didn't see it. He believed what God said. You will be a father of many nations. I'm not even a father of a son. You will be the father of many nations. He tied himself to the promise of God, and he did not waver. And because of his agreement, he stayed in alignment with God. And because he was in alignment with God, he was able to receive everything that flowed down from God, because he was in agreement and alignment with what God had spoken over his life. See, this is what alignment means. Alignment is a position of agreement, or a position of alliance. A position of agreement. That's what alignment is. Abraham never wavered. Why? Because he was in position. Abraham was fully convinced that God would do what he said. Why? Because he was in position. He had a position of agreement. And that's why here at North Point, we have a house habit that says we lean in. We lean in. We lean into worship. We lean into relationships. We lean into the Word of God. We lean into preaching. That's why whenever you come here, you hear people say, amen. Why do they say amen? Why do they say that's good? Because they are leaning in to the preaching of the Word of God. And when I lean in, I'm in a posture of agreement. And when I put my amen on it, I'm saying, let it be in my life the way that you just said it. Let me receive what you just threw out there. I'm going to say amen, because I want to be in agreement and alignment so I can get everything that God has for me. Here's the thing, you have to choose to lean in. Because if you don't choose to lean in, you will naturally lean out. And when you lean out and you get skeptical, when you lean out and you get critical, when you lean out and say, well, we'll just wait and see what happens, whenever you lean out, you get disconnected. And now here's the reason why that's so important. Because when you get disconnected, you get out of alignment. And when you're out of alignment, that means that you are out of agreement. And when you are out of agreement, that means that you become one of the 10 spies. Because I'm out of agreement with what God said. I'm out of agreement with the promise that he made to me. No, I gotta lean in. I can't afford to lean out. I can't afford to be one of the 10 spies. I gotta be Joshua and Caleb. I gotta be leaning into the promises of God. I gotta be leaning into the guarantees of the Word of God. I gotta be leaning into my leadership. And if Moses says we can do it, come on, I believe we can do it. If God met him on the mountain, I believe that God's gonna take us into the land. I believe I am leaning into what is possible. They were leaning in. But if we choose to lean out and get disconnected, then we will observe, but we'll never occupy. We will taste, but we will never take. Here's the second thing that you have to have if you are going to live the abundant life. The second thing you need to take the land, and that's your announcements. You have to start with your agreements, but then it moves to your announcements. Listen to the announcement that they made. In verse 31, they said, "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread the bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes there to live. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak." I don't know who this Anak guy is, but he had to be big and ferocious. "Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too." Their announcement was, "We can't do it. We can't." Their announcement was, "We're not strong enough. We are not enough. We can't do it." And then they started speaking for other people. "We felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too." I don't think anybody did a survey while they were there. I don't think any of those 10 spies went over to the giants and these descendants of Anak, which are so scary, and said, "Hey, can you tell us, how do you see us?" "Yes, you look like grasshoppers." "Oh, that's what we thought too." You know, that didn't happen, but they started speaking for other people. And the spies made a bad announcement. And they made a bad announcement because they didn't have the right agreement. God was not their refuge. They had not put their trust in Him. And when God is not your refuge, when He is not your all in all, when He is not your everything, and you haven't placed your trust in Him, then your announcement will be the announcement just like these spies. Their announcement was one of lack, inability, and fear. Because God was not their refuge. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, this is what Jesus said. He said, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Now, initially, my announcements will reveal my agreements. Okay, if you don't really know what you're in agreement with, listen to what you say. Listen to what you say on a daily basis. Listen to what you say when you encounter a problem. Listen to what you say whenever you encounter a crisis. Listen to what you say whenever you get into an argument with your spouse. Listen to what you say. In the beginning, your announcements will teach you about your agreements. But as you grow and mature in the faith, guess what? Your agreements start to change your announcements. I might have been saying this in the beginning because this was my agreement, but as I'm being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, now I've got new announcements. Why? Because I've got new agreements in my heart, and what is in my heart is changing what is coming out of my mouth. You see, I don't have to know how God is going to do it to believe that He will do it. I don't have to understand everything that's happening in my child's life, but whenever I trust God and I protect Him, I can make that announcement. God, I trust You, and I believe that You are leading and You are guiding and You are protecting my daughters. I can make the announcement. God, I don't know how You're going to do it, but I know that You can and You will do it. I make that announcement over my life. You have to understand, Caleb and Joshua did not have a complete plan or full understanding of how it was going to happen. They just knew that it could happen. And that's why they made an announcement. They made an announcement, "We will conquer the land." They didn't have a plan drawn up. They didn't have a strategy in their back pocket, but they had an agreement in their heart. And the agreement of their heart said, "He said it belongs to us, then it belongs to us, and He will give us the plan and the strategy as we go." You see, you don't have to have everything figured out to make the announcement. You don't have to have the full plan. You don't have to have the complete strategy. But one thing you do have to have is you have to have the agreement. You have to be in agreement to make the announcement. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, words kill, or words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. There is so much power in our words. There is so much power in what we say. The scripture says it's life and death. But I want you to think for a moment. If those words that we speak come from our heart, as Jesus said, then how important is our internal agreements? If what we say is so powerful, and Jesus said, I want you to know that what comes out of your mouth is really coming from the agreements that are in your soul, the agreements that are in your heart. How powerful are the agreements that are in us so that the power of the words can come out of us? See, this is the reason why we can say the right things for a while. We can force good things to come out of our mouth temporarily. But you can't continue to live with the right announcements over your life when you don't have the right agreements in your heart. You can say the right thing for a week. You can force the right announcements out of your life for a month or for a season. But sooner or later, your agreements have to begin to match your announcements. Sooner or later, you have to believe it in your heart so that you can speak it constantly in your life. I want to look at this last scripture and then we're going to pray and close. Matthew 15, verse 11, Jesus says this, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. Because the religious leaders came and they said, Jesus, we want to know why your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat. They're ceremonially unclean. Why don't they follow the law? Jesus said, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. Now, the 10 spies, they weren't just defiled by their words. They died because of their words. Scripture says in the very next chapter, Numbers 14, God killed them, sent a plague and killed them for their bad report. And it was the bad report they gave to others that came from a flawed agreement within themselves. I want you to see how important your agreements are, because they're not just important for you, they're important for everybody around you. Because the 10 spies had the wrong agreement. So when they come back, they spoke out of their agreement. And when they spoke out of their agreement, it was a bad report. We can't do it. We're not strong enough. They're bigger than we are. We'll never win this. There has to be something wrong. That's what they spoke. And it came from a flawed agreement. The bad report came from a flawed agreement. And my question to you this morning would be this: do you have any agreements in your heart, in your soul, that are creating the wrong announcements in your life that are keeping you from your promised land? Do you have any agreements in your heart that say, I can't? I can't do this. I can't do that. I won't ever be able to. Do you have any agreements in your heart? Because when you get into agreement with the I can't, guess what you are in disagreement with? You are in disagreement with the Word of God that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is there any agreement in you that's saying, I'm not enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not enough? Are you tying yourself to that agreement, because let me tell you where that agreement is going to take you. It's going to take you downhill. It's going to take you somewhere that you do not want to go. Why? Because the scripture says that if God is for you, who can be against you? And whenever I'm in agreement with I'm not enough, then that means God's word is not enough to me. And I'm in agreement with the wrong thing. Is there anything in your life that you're in agreement with that's causing the wrong announcements to come out that's preventing you from living in the land that God created you to live in? And you say, well, Philip, surely there's more to living the abundant life than just my agreements and my announcements. And yes, there is. But if you don't start there, it don't matter. Ask the 10 spies. The strategy wasn't important. They didn't get to participate. The plan, how they were going to conquer the land, didn't matter. They never stepped foot in the land. How God was going to defeat Jericho, the battles they were going to have to fight, the victories they were going to have to win, that plan didn't matter because they didn't have the right agreements and they didn't have the right announcements. And if you don't have the right agreements and the right announcements, nothing else matters. Let's not be people that just taste the fruit of what's possible. Let's be people that take the promise. Let's be people that take the purpose of God. Let's don't be satisfied with just getting a taste of what God could do. Let's actually live that out each and every day. Let's don't be like the 10 spies who taste and see that the fruit is good, the taste and see that the church service is good, the taste and see that the small group is good. No, let's taste and see that the one who made it all, he is good. Let's taste him and let's see that he is good, and let's get in agreement with him, and let's begin to make the announcements that are in agreement with his word so that we can move boldly and courageously into everything that he has for us on this earth. Come on, you stand with me this morning. Come on, won't you just bow your head for a moment? Come on, I want you to ask yourself right now, is there any agreement in your life right now? Any agreement that's creating a wrong announcement? Is there any I can't? Any I'm not enough? Is there any, well, that's what they said? That's what they think? They don't think I'm smart enough. They don't think I'm good enough. They don't think I'm strong enough. They don't think I can do it. This morning you say, Philip, I've got some agreements that are impacting my announcements, and they're not taking me closer to the promised land. They're not taking me closer to what God has for me. No, I've got some agreements. I've got some agreements that I need to change today. As I begin to change those agreements, it's going to start changing my announcements. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, you say, Philip, you're talking to me right now. You're talking to me right now. I've got some agreements that are causing me to be out of alignment. I've got some wrong agreements that are disconnecting me from the promise of God. You say, today, I'm ready to get the right agreements so that I can have the right announcements so that I can move into the life that God created me to live. Come on, if that's you right now, you know there's some agreements that you got to get right this morning. Come on, lift up your hand right now, right where you are. I'm not going to ask you to step out now. I'm not going to ask you to come down front, right there where you are. You say, I know I've got some agreement issues today. I got some agreement. I got some I can'ts. I got some I'm not enoughs. I've got some agreement issues. I'm agreeing with some lies. I'm agreeing with some fears. I'm agreeing with some shame. Come on, I'm agreeing with some guilt. I'm agreeing with some of the wrong things right now. Come on, as you just lift that hand up to the Lord right now. Come on, will you pray this prayer with me today? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. I know that I need you. I declare that you are my Lord and you are my Savior. You are leading my life, and I want my agreements to put me in alignment so that I can receive everything you have for me. I want my announcements to be in rhythm, to be in harmony with the agreements, the good agreements that are in my heart, so that I can see the land that you created for me. Father, I pray in Jesus' name all over this place. God, I pray that this word would begin to transform us. I pray that this word, God, would open up our mind to a greater level of understanding. And God, that never again would we be satisfied or okay with agreeing with something that disagrees with you, God. May we put our agreement in you, in your word. And God, your word declares that you are good. Your word declares that you will never disappoint us, that you will never let us down, that you will always be with us, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. Your word declares that you are a good, good Father, and that is what we are in agreement with today, and that is what we declare out of our mouths. Come on, church, will you put your hands together?
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.